Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield. This is the Justin Hutson Coaches Show, brought to you by California Business Machines, by Madera Auto Center, Suncrest Bank, The Elbow Room, Barrier Roofing, A-plus Signs, by Mega Prints, and by Fashion Furniture across from River Park. Live from the Elbow Room, this is the Justin Hutson Coaches Show. Now, here is your host, the voice of the Bulldogs, Paul Leffler.
Hey, 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 how about those Bulldogs, huh? What a game the other night at the Save Mart Center. Fresno State coming from down 20 in the first half, down a dozen at halftime to win by four, and tie for the Mountain West lead. Your Bulldogs are 5-1 atop the conference, tied with Nevada and UNLV. Tim shaking his head. They were tied. They were tied after they won, Tim. Thank you. So Fresno State is 14-4 to start the year, and we've got a great crowd of folks out here at the Elbow Room tonight to talk about it. Coach Justin Hutson is here about halfway through. He's going to tag team out with Tim Shelton, his assistant and former Aztec. Two guys who got to beat their old friends and teammates the other night on Tuesday night. So we're in the Elbow Room. That's Fig Garden Village, and we're on the patio where the shades are drawn. There's no cold air getting in. The fire's going in the corner. The Bulldog Bites are coming up, some free food for you. I've got my Illy coffee already, thanks to Anne Marie, and I think Coach has some coming up, too. Highly recommend it. And the menu's so fantastic here. You all know that. So come join us. We're here till 7 o'clock. And, yes, I know what you're wondering. Do they have tickets to give away? Yes, we have tickets to give away. Saturday, February 2nd. That's a week from Saturday. That's the next home game. That's when the New Mexico Lobos come into Fresno, New Mexico with well, they've got a few pretty good players, but they have a newcomer this year named Keith McGee. And we have Keith McGee right here at the Elbow Room thanks to the Timeout Club, so we're fired up tonight. Coach Hutt, enough of my introduction. Let's get down to business. Man, Tuesday night, did that feel like one game to you or about like five or six?
Two.
At least
like
two?
It felt like two. Yeah, you had to sit there, and I thought we started off playing pretty hard, but we made a lot of mistakes, and then we missed some shots that we should have made, and then we made some turnovers we shouldn't, and then we knew San Diego State's hair was going to be on fire. I knew that. I didn't say much, but I knew, you know, especially the starting five. Those are guys that I've been in those guys' homes before, recruited a lot of them. Most of them, when I took the job, you know, I went back on a Friday to say bye, and, you know, almost all of them were there to say bye, except for one of them, and he was a little upset. But so I knew it wasn't personal, but I've been through this before. You know, when I left and went to UNLV as an assistant, you know, we had Tim Shelton on the other team and a guy Chase Tapley. If you guys read a lot of the nice things he said about me and Xavier Things, who I'm really close to, but it kind of gives them a extra motivation to say, hey, we're going to make sure we play good here. So they did that. They came out very fired up, played great defense, took us out of some things, made some tough shots. But our guys, you had to be very proud of them. They stayed the course. You know, we stayed with our intensity. We started sharing the ball. Some shots fought, and we walked them down, and we were very fortunate to come out of there with a win.
It was really something to watch. And, you know, you mentioned your connection with San Diego State. I mean, you spent 10 years, more than half of your coaching career in college there, and a couple different stints with the Aztecs. As you said, you've been through this before when you went to UNLV for a couple years. But as I was watching, and we sit right by you guys, so I can kind of see some of what you're seeing, and I don't think I've ever seen a player stare down the opposing head coach the way Jeremy Hemsley decided to. And I don't know if you made eye contact with him, but it seemed like the first couple minutes of the game, as soon as he did something, from what I could tell, he was looking right at you. Did you catch that? Did it feel personal? Did that remind you of how intense that was going to be?
Not really. I mean, it was funny. That means he cared about me the most, because I've been through that.
That's what it looked like. Yeah,
exactly what it was. I knew exactly what it was, and it's only because I had experience. We talk about experiences going through it, and Chase Tapley did the same thing in Vegas. And if you read some of the things that he said about me, you know, when I got the job, I think my fiance was getting some quotes with some guys, and he wanted to call right back and said some of the nicest things you'd ever say about a coach, and it brought me very emotional. I knew that. It's very emotional. So, Jeremy, I think, you know, I try not to read the paper, but some people called me and said that, you know, there was a big article about what you just said in San Diego about Jeremy and his feelings at what he was doing. So he played very well, and he was very fired up, and he was ready to go, and he was excited. But it wasn't personal that he was upset. It was personal that he wanted to win, you know. And, you know, their challenge is to play with that emotion every game, you know, and our challenge is too, not for a half when they see Coach Hutt.
That's a very good point. Now, you know, you said two games, felt like two games. The first game kind of seemed like a nightmare. I mean, nothing is going right. Their lead is growing and growing. They're hitting shots, like you said. Your team isn't finding anything. Missed your first 8 3-pointers. That never happens to this team. You got the best 3-point shooting team in the Mountain West. What told you that that was okay? Why was the panic button never pressed?
The confidence I have in our guys, and the panic button is usually pressed if we're not playing hard or we're taking bad shots. And it's not a panic button, but it's more of a, you know, intensity. But I thought we were playing really hard. I thought our energy was there. I thought most of those shots were good shots, not all of them. So I'm consistent on that. Don't, you know, there was a couple times the guys, you know, we had some hero ball go on, say, I'll be the guy to get us back in it. And I understand that. That's not with my team or our team. It's not a place of selfishness. It's a place that I can get it done. And you wanted to say, hey, let's stick together. Let's make sure we do this together. We want to be aggressive. Shots are going to fall, you know, but let's make sure we do it together. You know, when I came in at halftime, you know, we met and then we came back out and they had three things written on the board that were exactly right. Do it together. Shots will fall. Stick with it, you know, so. Obviously, the message was getting together, and that's what it was about. Now, it's different if there's been some halves where I didn't think we played with the energy that we were supposed to. I don't think we took care of the ball like we should. Now, that message might be a little different than we're playing hard and they threw in some tough shots and we missed some easy ones.
Fresno State 5-1 in the Mountain West after that 66-62 win over San Diego State on Tuesday. The Bulldogs are back on the floor Saturday afternoon. 1 o'clock our time will be the tip time against Colorado State in Fort Collins. The Bulldogs have already beaten the Rams in Fresno, but now they have to go to Elevation and Colorado State's home floor on Saturday. We'll have time to talk about that. We can talk more about the San Diego State game. We've got questions from some of the Bulldog fans who've made their way here to the Elbow Room. You can do that, too. That food smells really nice, and some folks are helping themselves to some Bulldog Bites right now. If you can't make it here to the Elbow Room, I'm sorry to tell you, you're not going to win those tickets. We have 3 pairs of tickets to the next home game to give away. But you can still get your question to the coach if you tweet it our way on Twitter with that hashtag AskHutt. We have Coach Hutson for the first half of the show, then assistant coach Tim Shelton for the second half of the show, and we'll look forward to that. And let's jump into some of these questions here, Coach. I've got Christy and Keith both want to know, how's Noah Blackwell doing? He couldn't help you on the floor Tuesday as much as he wanted to. He was watching in a polo shirt and slacks. How's Noah doing now with that hammy?
Yeah, that really hurts to lose your point guard, you know, especially as much pick and roll as we play.
Right.
You know, and he's probably the best off pick and roll. You know, so now it's more than just adjusting to depth. You know, you got to have you lose your depth. You know, foul trouble you're worried about. You know, he obviously makes shots, but you're also saying, you know, adjust pick and roll. So he's doing better. He shot today, you know, so he didn't do any. He didn't go through practice, but he was able to shoot. So he's progressing nicely.
Yeah, I mean, that's what got me in that game. And you were fired up. We could tell you were engaged and you were excited, but you never did look too nervous. And I'm thinking, okay, he's got no Noah Blackwell, and you just explained why that was a big deal. And then with 2 minutes to go, here Deshaun Taylor, who's never fouled out in his entire college career, fouls out. So you're down your 2 primary ball handlers, and the game was still very much in doubt. I mean, they had all the time in the world to make up that deficit. What are you thinking at that point?
Yeah, wow. Okay, next guy up is new, and we ran him at the point a little bit, you know, in practice. You know, just very little. And, okay, what are we going to run now? Okay, how are we going to make sure we protect the ball? Okay, how are we going to get him comfortable where he doesn't have to do exactly how Noah does it and how DT does it, right? He's a shooter. He's a shooting guard. So, but he was up to the challenge. It was great. You know, he took care of the ball. You know, we got into a few things. We ran some clock down. We tried to get the ball to Braxton at the right time. We wanted to attack the rim, and we wanted to play as a team. So you wanted to try to put them in a position where they were comfortable, even though it was a uncomfortable position for him.
Yeah, to say the least. But the Bulldogs found a way, didn't they? That 66-62 win. And this ties into to everything we've talking about. Kent is here at the Elbow Room tonight, and he wrote down a question. And very nice penmanship, I must say. What were your thoughts when you were down by 20? And what did you say to the team at halftime? That's the first time you've been down by 20 to anybody as a Division I head coach.
Yeah, it was wow. Okay. Here's where we're at. San Diego State's pretty fired up out there, you know. They had a week off. I mean, how about that? You're talking about losing Noah, and you can say all the excuses or you want, or you can say they're real. They had a week off, mm-hmm. you know, before playing us. That was their bye. And we had a trip from heck coming back from Boise trying to get back into Fresno
mm-hmm.
and on a quick turnaround on a Tuesday game without your point guard.
Right.
So, you know, you're saying, okay, they're prepared. They went over our stuff. You know, they're ready to go. Okay, what's happening out on the floor? You just want to say, okay, what is going on? You know, are they doing something that's hurting us because of it's us or is it them? Are we hurting ourselves on the offensive end? Are we just missing shots? And so you just want to coach each possession is what you want to try to do. But you look up and say, wow, okay, are we going to make one? Are we going to stick together? What are we going to run now? Is there something we can get the ball easy? Do we need to get the ball to DT because he's experienced? Okay, make sure we're playing as a group. Don't start playing hero ball. And then how are they scoring on us? Are they scoring on us on stuff that we can control, or are they tough shots? And, you know, but panic's not going to do you any good. Ranting and raving, unless it's for a reason. If it's for a reason, you need to. Sometimes they need to see emotion out of you, but you want to make sure you're not just overly emotional and ranting and raving and creating and making sure they're playing you and them.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what you want to do. They already had a tough enough time playing San Diego State without their point guard on a short turnaround. You didn't want to sure they were playing, you know, our coaching staff either.
That's some real wisdom you're sharing there. I hope some young coaches are listening to that because it, you know, you see guys that they're either all or nothing. And when they do jump on them, they jump on them all the time. So it doesn't mean anything. If that's all they ever hear, it doesn't mean anything. And I hear what you're saying. It's got to mean something when you're going to get fired up. So that's how you felt when you were down by 20 and what was going through your mind. But Kent's question also asks, what did you say to the team at halftime? You mentioned what was already on the board when you got in there.
Yeah, to, you know, share the ball, keep attacking the rim, shoot it when your feet are set. They're going to fall. If you're not open, keep attacking the rim. Okay, let's make sure we're guarding our pick and roll the way we're supposed to. Okay, rebound the ball. Don't relax. We got enough time. You don't have to do it by yourself. Let's do it together. You don't have to do it by yourself. There's enough time to play. But, you know, they've heard the message before. They'll respect it if you get on them, if it's something that, you know, they know that you're supposed to get on them about. But I think they understood that we were trying hard. I don't think you look out in the first half and I watched the tape and said, okay, we're not trying hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that simplistic at times to say, okay, now do we need to make an adjustment here nor there on what we're doing on offensive, defensive end, or is it something we just need to do better? And they understood, and that was good, and it was lucky to have, you know, guys that they didn't flinch. You know, we got hit and we didn't flinch. We came back.
Well, and it builds such a baseline for if you find yourself in these kind of situations in the future. They know what they're capable of. You did it at Utah State, did it to a lesser extent at Boise State because the deficit wasn't as big, and now a 20-point deficit erased in a big victory over San Diego State. So the Bulldogs are 5-1 in the Mountain West, and they look to stay perfect on the road in conference play Saturday, 1 o'clock at Colorado State. We'll talk more about that matchup when we come back. If you have questions for the coach, send them our way on Twitter with that hashtag AskHut. Or better yet, come eat some great food at the Elbow Room, meet the coach, and maybe win some tickets. We're at the Elbow Room here in Fig Garden Village on Palm and Shaw until 7 o'clock tonight on 940 ESPN of the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back to the Coach Justin Hutson Show. We are live here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. Hope you can make it tonight. That fireplace is rolling in the corner. Those bulldog bites are out. They smell delicious. How is it, Betty? Thumbs up? Wonderful. Okay. Got some meatballs there, Tim. Nice. The questions are coming in. They're coming in on Twitter as well. You can join the party on Twitter with the hashtag AskHut. That's if you have a question for Coach Hutson, who's here now, or Assistant Coach Tim Shelton, who's going to join us a little later on the program. The Bulldogs 5-1 in Mountain West play after that big come-from-behind win over the Aztecs Tuesday night. Next up, Colorado State, Saturday in Fort Collins. Let's get to some more of these questions that the fans have thrown out here for you, Coach. Keith wants to know how your signed recruits are doing so far their senior year. One of them had his senior year cut short. But how are those guys, and how often do you get to connect and stay in touch with the guys who have already signed those letters of intent to play for you next year?
You try to do it once a week.
Yeah.
You know, and assistants do it. I do it. So you try to either call them or text. And, yeah, Jared Heider hurt his foot. He was having a great year, and he hurt his foot, so he's out for the year. Anthony Hollins had some great games, shooting the ball really well. People calling him a sleeper now, and Orlando Robinson is doing well. So we're excited about those guys. We're very excited about those guys, so they're going to be fixtures here as Bulldogs.
Yeah, and then I know that, you know, you're trying to figure out how to handle Nico Carvacho on Saturday afternoon, but if we fast forward a little bit to next year, you have those three guys you just mentioned who are coming in from high school. You've got Asan, who's redshirting right now, who's getting better and better in practice and certainly has the size to be a rim protector. Now you have Jordan Campbell in the program as a transfer from Oregon State. And
you got Chris Seeley sitting out.
Chris Seeley is sitting out, another 6'8 post player.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to talk about the other new addition yet or no?
I'm not sure, you know, but I'm sure he's coming. So he's he's a scoring guard that can really score the ball, and, you know, he'll have to sit for a year. So we got a chance.
Well, all those guys will be part of the mix next year. And if you've paid attention at all this year, you know it's been pretty exciting. So just imagine what next year in year two with this coaching staff is going to bring you. Your next chance to catch the Bulldogs at home is Saturday, February 2nd against New Mexico. Those tickets are on sale, $15 a person, or you might be able to take advantage of that group rate. Why not bring a big group? Bring a basketball team. Bring your service club. Bring a whole mess of people to the Save Mart Center on February 2nd. Those group rates start at just $8. The best rate is if you come put your name in the hat here or the translucent box at the elbow room, and you may walk away with a pair of free tickets to that New Mexico game if you join us here tonight. We're out on the patio at the Elbow Room until 7 o'clock. There's a question on Twitter that's been waiting here for a while. Cam used the hashtag AskCut. You can do that, too, if you like. Cam says, aside from the Nevada game, which I guess he's assuming gives you some good experience, too, he says, do you feel like winning these tightly contested games against San Diego State and Utah State gives your guys more experience down the road? What can you draw from those wins, especially the way you pulled them off, down at halftime and making up that deficit to finish the job?
Great question. You know, games, you know, experience is experience. We say it every time. We can go through stuff in practice, but it's nothing like a game experience, and you want to do it by winning. So there was a couple things we did really well at the end of the game, some things we didn't. So we were able to show that on film, come back and say, this is how important it is. Now make sure we do it better next time. And now the young men, what happens is they look and say, wow, that could have cost us the game. And we're not talking about showing a missed shot. We're talking about blowing an assignment, not being where you're supposed to be, maybe not playing a time and score. So those are things that, you know, now you can show it on film and say, this is what could have happened. Now how would you have felt? So it's nothing like experience. You work on situations in practice. Sometimes teams, you work on them more. Sometimes you don't. End of the game situations where you're up or you're down. But it definitely gives us some confidence to say, okay, we're able to come back and win, or we're able to hold a lead. We're able to make the free throws. We're able to get a stop at the end like we're supposed to. Now I think they kind of understand even more the importance of what we're trying to do at the end of the game.
And so you have that big picture growth and the value of experience. And then you have, if you zoom in with the lens, you have those matchups. And now Saturday you have the first chance to play a team for the second time. And I'm sure you remember as a player, I'm sure as a coach's son, you've always watched a lot of film. But did you get something extra from feeling out that matchup on the floor, knowing what it was like to defend so-and-so? And did you feel better prepared or have a better gauge on it when you saw that same team again a second time?
I mean, I didn't watch much film when I was young, to tell you the truth. But, you know, it's always a little bit of a chess match. And they say the team that loses has the advantage, right, because they're going to change some things. And if you win, how much are you going to change? You know, but I think you just got to look at it for what it is. You know, you watch the the recent four or five games that they played, you have injuries. Obviously, we're not the same team as we were before because we don't have Noah. So they're going to watch film and say, okay, they're going to make some adjustments, what hurt us. We're going to do the same thing. But it really comes down to playing hard and playing together and who's going to make shots. And are we creating good shots? Are we hard to guard and we guarding them hard? And are we taking care of the ball and rebounding it? And are we playing with energy and playing as a team? Those are the things you focus on. And then you want to try to watch a lot of film to see if there's a couple of things you can help the guys with, because you can't make wholesale changes this time of year.
Yeah, other than the ones you're forced into, like what you just mentioned. If you are down a player, those minutes have to go somewhere else.
We're new at the point at the end of the game.
Yeah, on Tuesday night, for sure. Saturday, 1 o'clock against Colorado State, your next chance to catch the Bulldogs. Of course, we'll have the action right here on 940 ESPN. Here's another question from Kent. This is a good one. I don't know. Well, I'll just throw it your way, and let's see what you think. Because you weren't here last year, but you coached against this team for three games last year. He wants to know why the players are playing with so much more confidence this year. That's his observation. Do you see a more confident team today than game one this year?
Yeah, I mean, shoot, a lot of these guys didn't play. So they got to be more confident they're out on the floor. You know, I mean, I think Sam might be a big difference. I mean, because he actually did play last year, right? So he was a guy that played, so I think you see him being more aggressive, right? And we're trying to make sure that happens. But, you know, Nate's time was in and out last year. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he played, sometimes he didn't. New didn't play much. Johnny didn't play much. You know, Laz didn't play much. So, you know, that's definitely a challenge to make sure, first of all, they're out there playing. And secondly, you know, playing with confidence and playing their role and their aggressiveness. And, you know, each year, you know, guys come back and maybe they have a little different role. So, but, you know, that it's definitely a challenge. You know, I hated to hear how young San Diego State was supposed to be, because they had four guys come back from the NCAA tournament team.
Mm-hmm.
That four of them started a lot. So that's experience. So maybe a couple of them were young, but they started a lot of games on a team that went to the NCAA tournament team. That's like me. You know, DT's not young.
No.
He has a lot of experience, and I think you can see it out there. You know, but whether a guy is a junior or a senior or a sophomore, sometimes that doesn't matter. It's about how many minutes and points did you put up the year before. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
Are you out there putting minutes up and points and rebounds and numbers up? Now you come back. Now you can, as a coach, I think you have a little bit more of a comfort level to say, I know what this young man's going to do because he did it before. Not, well, he's a junior, so he's older.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I'm happy with the way the guys are playing, and hopefully we continue to get better because, you know, we want them to play confident because we're very confident in our guys.
Well, and I mentioned that you defeated Colorado State by double digits here when the Rams were here. And one thing you guys did was you really neutralized their best player, Nico Carvacho, who at the time was leading the nation in rebounds. He's a double-double machine. Do you have to guess that going into the second matchup, you probably can't neutralize them the same way you did the first time? That you're going to have to find other tricks or other ways to guard against him taking over the game, dominating the glass?
We definitely challenged our guys to box him out, you know, and we did a good job of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about learning experience. You said, okay, I didn't know how we were going to spawn. I knew Nico Carvacho was going to rebound. I didn't know how tough we were going to be boxing him out. I know we worked on it. We showed it. We talked about it. We learned by doing. We boxed out a lot in practice. So now we saw you do it. We expect you to do it again. And we got to match the intensity. You hear that a lot because he's going to be much more intense. They're going to have more energy at home. Okay, so we got to make sure that we contain our, you know, continue to have the same energy we have here at the Save Mart Center we got to have in Fort Collins.
Well, and, I mean, we talked about this last week. You guys are in a stretch where you're playing four out of six games away from home. And this one, you're actually not coming home after the game Saturday. So you're going to be up there at elevation from, tomorrow until late Wednesday night when you're flying back home from Laramie, Wyoming. How scripted are all those days away from home, and what's the potential value of having that much time with your team where you guys really are with? No one's going home to their apartment or going to find his girlfriend. You guys are all going to be together for a few days.
Well,
easy now, timeout club. Let's go.
I don't know if it's an advantage to stay on the road that long, you know, especially at altitude. Everything I heard is you need to come home. But, you know, we're not making any excuses on it. We're going to be ready to go, and we're going to use it as extra film session.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe get out to eat a few more times so now we can, you know, be out together in atmospheres like this and make them put their phone down and talk to each other. But, you know, it's a routine that we necessarily don't want to do. You know, I think back in the old days where there was travel partners, people wanted, they said, you always were in trouble the second game because of the altitude. Well, we're not going to use that as an excuse. We'll be ready to go, you know. So our guys are prepared. They're in shape. So we take one at a time. Colorado State always plays better at home. Wyoming's always tough to beat, you know, at home. So we got to make, we got our hands full. But I like the group that we have.
How do you feel about those altitude warnings they like to throw out at Wyoming?
I keep saying the same joke over and over. I think everybody here will know it. The timeout club. I'll just say what Tark said. I'm glad we play inside.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we got a few guys on my team that's going to believe that, too.
Well, I hope they do, and I hope they're not paying attention. Because usually what they do, right about when the starting lineups come out in Laramie, and for some of you who've been there, you know. But, I mean, first of all, they've got flames going everywhere, and the lights are down, and then they put this big old thing on the video screen. I think they might even put, like, the skull and crossbones, like the poison signal, and warning, you're at severe altitude. You could experience shortness of breath and even death. You know, and they really try to get in your head a little bit. Have you been able to laugh that off over the years?
Well, I'm so intense that time of game that it doesn't matter to me.
Uh-huh.
You know, if I was a fan, it would probably be funny. You know, but you know, hopefully they understand. They understand that they lose their win early and you can get your second win. You got to make sure you sub right.
Yeah.
And try to stay out of foul trouble because when you get tired, fatigue makes cowards out of us all, and sometimes you start fouling. So we got to make sure we stay out of foul trouble and sub right, and we'll be okay.
Well, Coach, this half hour went by really quick. I see Tim Shelton waiting in the wings. I know you've got some other things to run off to tonight, but thanks for being here tonight, and congrats on the 5-1 start. Safe travels and good luck in Fort Collins.
It's always my pleasure to be here. Thank you, Paul.
All right, that's Coach Justin Hudson here at the Elbow Room. Coach Shelton joins us when we come back. Maybe you have a question for him. Just use that same hashtag, AskHut, and you have to be here to win the tickets. We're giving them away at 7 o'clock tonight. The Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village and the Coach Justin Hudson Show on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield. All right, St. Marvin. Welcome back to the Coach Justin Hudson Show. We are live here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. We're here till 7 o'clock tonight, taking your questions in person or on Twitter with the hashtag AskHut. If you want to win the tickets, then you got to be here. And what tickets? We've got three pairs of tickets. Fresno State, New Mexico. That's the next home game. That is Saturday, February 2nd. The Lobos coming to town. You won't want to miss it. February 2nd. And you can get your tickets at GoBulldogs.com or by calling 278-DOGS. $15 a piece. Group rates start at $8. So call that number, 278-DOGS, or hurry on over to the Elbow Room, because if you're not here in the next 25 minutes, you won't win them. Right now we have a chance to catch up to Fresno State assistant coach and former San Diego State Aztec, Tim Shelton. And, Tim, we were talking to Coach Hutt about the game Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was interesting for you because not only did you play at San Diego State, you were on the Aztec staff with Coach Hutt last year as well. You know all those players very well. So what was going through your mind in the first 15, 16, 17 minutes when even if you guys got within 16, 17, it's going right back to 20? What was going through your head?
Just keeping our guys focused. You know, I was pretty calm about everything that was going on, as crazy as that might sound. But just trying to keep our guys focused, you know, looking at the scheme of things, how are we defending, what kind of shots were they making, and then what kind of shots were we taking. And we started taking better shots, you know, as the first half progressed. They just weren't falling. So you kind of knew if we continue to play that way and brought a certain level of energy, you know, to the defensive end, that good things would start to happen for us.
So you weren't nervous at all?
Honestly, I wasn't. I really wasn't. That's probably the most calm I've been out of all of our games at home so far. So,
well, there must be something going on there to maintain that. I don't know if all the fans were calm when the Bulldogs were down 39-19, but they won 66-62. That's why they're 5-1 in conference, headed to Colorado State Saturday, 1 o'clock, the tip there. And we've got a stream of questions coming in from the great crowd here at the Elbow Room tonight. They're enjoying some of that free food. They might be ordering off the menu as well. This Illy Coffee is right up my alley. And remember, if you don't have weekend plans or you're trying to figure out where to take your family for a weekend brunch, the Elbow Room's got the best Sunday brunch in town. They even do it Saturdays as well, 9 to 2, Saturdays and Sundays, if you want to get your brunch reservations. All right. They like you, Coach Shelton. You've got a lot of questions here. Let's see. Kent wants to know, what are the keys to winning with a smaller team? You guys certainly have a smaller team this year. And there were times when you were at San Diego State where you had to guard a guy that maybe had an inch or two or three or four on you. So in your estimation, what are the keys to winning with a smaller team?
The keys to winning with a smaller team are honestly probably very similar to the keys to winning with a larger team. You focus on majoring in the minors. You're still talking about the same concepts in terms of, you know, what might hurt you, maybe rebounding or something like that. So you're still talking about gang rebounding, which is all five guys on the defensive end making an effort, going toward the ball, going toward the paint, and making an effort to rebound. It's a team thing. You know, the guys who have the matchups, you know, that might hurt them in terms of size and athleticism. You know, you might tell them just specifically that game to hit and hold on a guy instead of hit and go get. And that's just terminology of rebounding. So
Yeah. Make
contact and then go get the ball. Some guys might have to hold contact while the smaller guys or the other guys who aren't running in and rebounding, you know, they have to go get it.
Which is something this team has done pretty well so far this year. The Bulldogs 5-1 in Mountain West play, 14-4 overall. We're talking to assistant coach Tim Shelton here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village here till 7 o'clock. Kent had a question here. Can you give us examples of how well the guys on the team like each other? I'm sure you've seen teams where not everybody does like each other. You probably played on teams where not everybody likes each other. So what are the examples you've seen so far this year of the good stuff?
You know, one of the examples I can give is actually kind of a progression of this team. You know, they were really close when we got here, and, you know, where I was from before San Diego State, the guys didn't necessarily like to play open gym all the time, but they wanted to give them the gym and shoot. These guys wanted to play all the time. And, you know, that kind of shows a sign of, you know, a team being a little bit closer, because it takes a little more energy and effort to get together and play. You know, they're holding each other accountable for being there. So that's one thing. Obviously, you know, their communication level is another thing. In the locker room, they're all close. They seem to know a lot about each other. But the part that has been exciting in terms of that is how they're starting to hold each other accountable for things on the floor a little bit more. You know, and that's the stuff that ends up making teams go from decent to good or good to special. And I think if we can continue to do that, you know, the relationship is such that they're so close that they can start to tell each other things on the floor that make a difference, that make an impact on the big picture.
Because if they're not close and they do that, it just has the opposite effect, right?
Right.
I mean, if the guy that I can't stand is telling me, hey, you need to do this, I'm not going to hear that.
Right.
I'm probably going to get distracted and mad.
It comes across a little bit better when they like each other, you know.
Well, it's been fun to watch this squad. You can tell the Bulldogs like each other. They love each other, and they love playing the game. They love winning. That's just about all they've done so far, 14-4 to start the year. We've got a few more questions for Coach Shelton here. In fact, one just came on in Twitter from Ken down at Tulare. Who were the Fresno State coaches when you and Titus were seniors, and were you recruited by Fresno State? And before you answer that, I'm curious. Have you heard anything from your older brother after the article on Coach Hutt in the San Diego paper this week called Titus your younger brother?
I have. That's pretty funny. I read that, and I didn't even realize that.
Maybe they fixed it.
Maybe they did.
Maybe the first one I saw online, yeah, it said is your younger brother Titus. So I'm sure Titus had to remind you who the older brother is after that.
I can't quite remember who was here my senior year, because I actually tore my ACL my junior year.
I
didn't really play my senior year.
Yeah. Because you had transferred from Bakersfield to Clovis West, and that was
2 years
play for
after
the Eagles.
That. Yeah. 2 years after that. So I kind of forget who was here my senior year, because it was like, is he okay? Is he doing well?
I think
it
was Coach Cleveland, wasn't it?
Most likely.
Yeah.
Most likely.
How'd you end up at San Diego State? Was it the relationship with Coach Hutt?
Honestly, part of it. You know, he was obviously a big influence on it. But when I got to know Coach Fisher, you know, he was really special in terms of his demeanor, in terms of his, he has a level of genuineness that is unmatched, you know, in terms of someone I've met before in our business. And, you know, Coach has a way of talking to you, believing in you, you know, speaking life into you and speaking certain things into your life that, you know, you really feel comfortable around him and you really trust what he's doing. So he was kind of the icing on the cake. And then, you know, obviously Coach Hudson, my trust and faith and knowing who he is and what he was about, you know, that made it easy.
So you never really thought about being a Bulldog as a player?
I did.
You did?
I did, yeah. I enjoyed watching the Bulldog games when I first got into town from Bakersfield. I thought the environment was good. I thought the players were good. And it was my first taste of, you know, what I thought, you know, high major basketball, high level talent. You know, I hadn't seen anything like that before.
And then you had to play against them a few times. And I remember those games, so we're not going to talk about them all that much. Coach Tim Shelton with us for the rest of the Coach Justin Hudson Show. It's break time again. Hustle on over to the Elbow Room. Come eat some great food. Talk some Bulldog basketball. Maybe win some tickets. We're back after this on 940 ESPN of the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back to the Coach Justin Hudson Show. We're live at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. If you're not here yet, hey, you're missing out. You're going to have to catch us next Thursday night. We'll be here from 6 to 7. In just a few minutes, we're going to be giving away tickets to the next Bulldog home game. That's against New Mexico on February 2nd. Plenty of home games left for you. You've got Saturday games, Tuesday games, Wednesday games, $15 apiece. You can get those group rates for as little as $8 a person. And the team is playing fantastic basketball. 5-1 in Mountain West play, 14-4 overall. The Bulldogs haven't lost a road game in conference play, and they're going to try to keep it that way Saturday, 1 o'clock, when they battle the Colorado State Rams for the second time. Coach Hudson was here for the first half of the show, and now we have assistant coach Tim Shelton with us. And, Tim, I don't know if you're prepared to answer this one, but Christy pays attention. And her question is, when is your song with New Williams going to be released?
It's a great question.
I see palms up in the air right now. You know, that's not good. New and I talked about it yesterday. He has the song, and in the next 24 hours.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Move that microphone a little closer to your mouth. There we go.
In the next 24 hours.
The next 24 hours. So you mean we're going to see it? We're going to see the video drop in the next 24 hours?
Just the song.
Just the song. And this is a song about the Fresno State basketball team.
It's not just the basketball team.
About the community.
It's about the community. It's about the Red Wave. You know, there are references to multiple sports. It's not just a basketball song.
Multiple sports.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. If you hadn't played basketball in college, what sport would you have played?
I actually really liked volleyball.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
I probably would have given a volleyball a shot.
Anybody ever try to get you to play football?
Yes. My uncle, my freshman year at Bakersfield High, and I went out there for a day, and then I did okay, I think. I don't really know. I think I did okay. But after that, Coach Hudson was like, you know what, you'll play varsity basketball. And at the time, you know, teenager, I'm like, varsity sounds more fun than JV playing my first year of football ever. So
I think you chose wisely.
I think so, too.
Let's see. Tony was paying attention during the game. And she pointed out that you had a few conversations face-to-face with Nate Grimes during the game. So she wants to know, if you could tell us, what'd you say to him to calm him down and keep him focused?
With Nate, you know, he doesn't need you to say too much. He more so just needs time to just relax. So you remind him what the game plan is. You remind him what's going on. You refocus him, you know, on the score and what his teammates are doing a little bit. But you more so just talk to him in a calm tone, and he's fine. So, you know, in terms of the last game, I did remind him he already had a technical foul. So that was a big thing. It's like, hey, you know, if you get another one, you're done. But also, hey, focus in, you know, let your play do the talking. Continue to go out there and be a presence on the boards and be active, and things will work out.
Well, it sure did. And I'm sure as a coach, it's gratifying when you see that, when you see the effect that some words. And you said something earlier about Coach Fisher speaking life into people. And I can see that intentionality on your part. Are there ever moments in a game where you see something and you say, hey, he really heard that, or he really grasped that, digested it, understood that?
There are quite a few moments in really the last month where, you know, our players, they've been a blessing. They've welcomed us with open arms, and obviously there are certain changes in different things that we do in terminology and in certain tone. But you know, when they look you in the eyes in the middle of the heat of the battle and they say, yes, coach, or they continue to ask a question to help the progress of the game or the progress of the team focus, you know, those are kind of special moments that you appreciate, and they also give you confidence that, you know, that guy is prepared to go back in if he's out, or that guy is prepared to continue to stay in the game and focus even if he's played an extended amount of minutes.
Which Nate did, the most minutes he's ever played in a game, 38 on Tuesday night, and that 13-point, 16-rebound performance for the Bulldogs junior forward, who is going to have his hands full on the glass Saturday against Nico Carvacho, the leading rebounder in the Mountain West. 1 o'clock Saturday against Colorado State. That's the next game for the Bulldogs. You'll hear it right here on 940 ESPN. We have another 10 minutes here at the Elbow Room. If you want to win those tickets, hurry on over. Christy had another question for you, and maybe this ties into the last one. She wanted to know, what do you say to a player who's mad at the refs, who's upset about officiating?
We actually have a... somebody's mother.
Yeah. There was a mother who saw her son foul out for the first time ever on Saturday. You can understand her being upset. But when a player is getting fired up about something he can't control like the refs, how do you step into that situation?
This is actually one of Coach Hudson's first sayings, you know, with our team, next possession. So we have, it says next play in our locker room if you've ever been in there. It's in big silver writing. It says next play. We're big on that term. We're big on believing in a next possession mentality, no matter what happens, good or bad. Next possession until the clock runs out. Let's focus on the task at hand. Let's focus on the big picture. Control what you can control. But in terms of something that Coach Hudson has said from our first workouts and our first team practices, next possession, what we're all about. So something like that happens with the refs, you know, the staff has to do a good job of it as well, including myself. I get fired up. But you have to do a good job of continuing to focus on the big picture and what, you know, what we're doing. Control what we control.
Let it go. Mm-hmm. I guess if you put "Let It Go" in the locker room, you might have some Prince's songs being sung, and you don't want to.
Who doesn't like
that.
Frozen, though? It's a good movie.
If I saw Nate Grimes walk out singing "Let It Go," I don't know. Now Terrell Carter courtside could probably pull it off, but
if Nate sings "Let It Go," he might get 25 rebounds.
That sounds like a great experiment, Tim. I think we should try that. But speaking of music. Now, you said your song with New about the Bulldogs in this community is going to drop in the next 24 hours. How are we going to find it? How are we going to know where to look?
You know, I left that up to New Williams.
Okay.
New is such a talent. You know, you see what kind of growth he's made on the floor, the type of impact he has on his team. You know, a kid that will run through a wall for you and is extremely coachable, and that's why he's gotten so much better. But it's been a pleasure to get to know him off the floor more. You know, he's a great student. He mm-hmm. really goes hard in the classroom, but he's also had a talent for music for, you know, since high school. You know, he has an ability to produce. He makes music. He writes lyrics. And he's worked with some people, you know, throughout the country that have put out songs and singles that you might recognize, you might not. But, you know, when he kind of came to me with it and was like, what do you think? I'm like, you know what, let's do it. So it was kind of more of, you know, I'd like to be able to be a part of this for New, you know,
yeah.
and help him showcase his talent a little bit. And it's something I've done in the past for fun, and I think it'd be good for the environment.
Well, I think a lot of folks are excited about that. And if it is indeed out in the next 24 hours, I'll make sure we play it on our basketball broadcast Saturday. How's that?
There you go.
We'll make sure that that makes the radio. It'll be on AM radio. Usually you hear music on FM, but we'll make it work on 50,000 watts of 940 ESPN. We better take our last break before we run out of time. We'll squeeze in a few more questions with Coach Tim Shelton when we come back. The Coach Justin Hudson Show at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back to the Coach Justin Hudson Show. We've got just a couple minutes left. The Bulldogs will be on a plane tomorrow. They're playing in Colorado on Saturday. They take on the Rams of Colorado State Saturday at Moby Arena in Fort Collins. 1 o'clock, the tip time. You'll hear it right here on 940 ESPN. We're joined by assistant coach Tim Shelton, who played a game or two in Moby Arena. Any memories about playing up there at almost 5,000 feet elevation?
Yes. Yeah, our 34-3 year... very tight game. They had a really talented team. You know, one of my best friends, our point guard at the time, DJ Gay.
Yeah.
You know, they make a basket to tie it, and Coach Fisher doesn't call a timeout, and there's about 8 seconds left, and he brings the ball up the floor, surveys it a little bit, you know, pushes left and shoots a step back at the buzzer to win it, and, you know, that was one of the most exciting kind of moments of the season, but it was a hard-fought game. It always has been. But that's one of the special memories that I have for being there.
Well, I hope it's not that dramatic on Saturday, but you never know. Maybe the Bulldogs will be ready to give you another memory like that. We've got just a couple minutes left, and I don't want to leave these Bulldog fans hanging that ask some questions here for Coach Shelton. And if you missed it earlier, he said that new song that he's collaborated on with Bulldog guard New Williams is going to be out and listenable in the next 24 hours. It's called Red Wave. Go figure. So keep your ears open for Red Wave, and it's going to be stuck in your head, just like Let It Go, the other song we were talking about. So let's see. Tim wanted to know about Colorado State in this matchup you have Saturday. He pointed out that CSU was within 3 points of Nevada, and then Nevada, just like the Wolfpack did to Air Force in the previous game, really took over from there and blew them out, built it up to a 40-point lead. What did you see in that situation? How'd that happen?
You know, Colorado State, very well coached, obviously new staff there. You know, they're starting to continue to fine-tune their offense. What they've adjusted since they played us is that they throw the ball inside a little bit more to Carvacho. So they run a little rub play for him, you know, from the one of the elbows near the free throw line to the block, left block looking in. And they like to try and play four perimeter players around him and throw it into him just a little bit more. So that's helped him. You know, he's very consistent down there. He's steady. Most people post double him. Mm-hmm. And he finds people for shots. But if you can continue to put the pressure on him and use your length and make him play off rhythm and don't let him just back down and score or rebound and score, you know, it helps your chances, obviously, to beat those guys. But they're playing a better brand of basketball, and guys are starting to continue to define their roles and be a little more comfortable with what they're doing. Nevada obviously overwhelmed them a little bit, and at home that happened. Nevada actually made shots early, which they haven't really done.
Yeah, they made their first four threes.
From the perimeter this season, they're the lowest three-point percentage shooting team in our conference, and they got out to a hot start from three, so that helped them. But Colorado State played a good brand of basketball. Just Nevada got hot that night.
Well, we're looking forward to the matchup Saturday. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Tim, thanks for your time. Always great to see you. We'll look forward to the Red Wave. That's Tim Shelton here at the Elbow Room. We're here next week with Coach Hutt from 6 to 7 on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield.
Live from the Elbow Room, the Justin Hutson Coaches Show has been brought to you by California Business Machines, by Madera Auto Center, Suncrest Bank, the Elbow Room, Barrier Roofing, A-plus signs, by Mega Prints, and by Fashion Furniture across from River Park. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Bulldog Sports Network.